I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back for another deep dive. Today, we're going underground, you know, exploring these massive tunnels, specifically how to keep buildings safe while we're building those tunnels.
Yeah, it's a growing concern for sure. I mean, as cities get bigger, right, and we need more space, we have to start thinking about what's going on beneath the surface.
Absolutely, yeah. We're talking about tunnels for transportation, for water, everything. And a lot of times these are being dug right under our cities.
Right, and that's where things get really tricky, you see. You want to build these essential projects, but you also have to keep everything above ground safe and sound at the same time. And that can be tough.
You know, it's easy to forget about what's happening beneath us until something goes wrong, like that building collapse in Kolkata a few years back. That's a stark reminder of why research like this is so important. It's about getting ahead of those risks, understanding them before disaster strikes.
Exactly. And it's not always about those catastrophic failures. Even small ground movements, you know, can lead to cracks in a foundation, uneven floors, things like that. You want to avoid all of that if you can.
So this research, it's not that engineers haven't been dealing with these risks all along, right? I'm sure there are already ways to assess this. So what makes this research different?
Oh, absolutely. There are existing systems.
Okay.
But, and you'll see this in the paper, this isn't about throwing everything out and starting over. It's about refining how we think about these projects, you know, because the truth is they're incredibly complex.
Okay. Yeah. When you say complex, what goes into that? I mean, what are some of the factors that make these projects so challenging?
Well, picture this. You're an engineer and you're planning a new tunnel route. Mm-hmm. You have to consider the soil, how deep the tunnel needs to go, the water table, how close it'll be to existing buildings.
And each building is different, right? I mean, a skyscraper is going to react differently than a smaller, older building.
That's a key point. The older models, they sometimes struggle to capture those nuances, those little details that make each building unique. They can tell you how much the ground might move, but not how a specific building will handle that movement.
And this is where this new research comes in. It's a more, targeted approach.
Exactly. It moves beyond those big estimates, you know, and tries to develop a model that's both more accurate and more sensitive to the individual factors at play. Because at the end of the day, it's those individual factors that can make or break a building's safety during tunnel construction.
This is getting really interesting. What are some of the key elements of this approach? What makes it so different?
Well, one thing is this idea of fuzzy logic, which might sound kind of sci-fi, but it's actually really interesting.
Fuzzy logic. Okay, now you've got me curious. What's so fuzzy about it? Fuzzy logic. Okay, now you got me curious. What's so fuzzy about it?
Well, it's really about, you know, embracing the gray areas, the uncertainty that comes with these huge engineering projects.
So instead of saying this building will be fine or this building will fall down, it's more nuanced than that.
Exactly. It's like, think about trying to predict earthquakes. Right. We know where the fault lines are. We have data and all that. But there are just too many things you can't know to be absolutely certain.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
So this research, by using fuzzy logic, it takes all those unknowns, all those variables, and actually builds them into the model. It allows for a range of possibilities instead of like forcing a yes or no answer.
So it's not pretending to be able to see the future perfectly. It's more about understanding like how likely different outcomes are.
You got it. It's like, imagine you're baking a cake, right? You follow the recipe, but even then there are things you can't control. The oven temperature might be slightly off. Maybe the ingredients weren't, you know, perfectly fresh. Those little things can all affect the final result.
And sometimes you just don't know how it'll turn out until you take it out of the oven.
Exactly. Fuzzy logic is kind of like that.
Yeah.
It helps us acknowledge those unknowns and still make smart decisions, even with that element of unpredictability.
This is really fascinating. But it's not all about algorithms and equations, right? I read in the paper that they also incorporate expert opinions. Is that right?
Absolutely. And this is where it gets even cooler, I think. They didn't just want to rely on, you know, cold, hard data. They wanted to tap into the intuition and experience of engineers who've been in the trenches, so to speak.
So they brought in the veterans, the ones who've been on site, dealt with the unexpected, and really have a feel for those subtle signs of risk.
Yeah, Exactly. And here's the clever part. They weighted those expert opinions based on experience. So an engineer who's been working on tunnels for 30 years, their input carries more weight in the model.
It's like having a master chef come in and taste your cake batter, right?
Yeah.
They can tell if it needs a pinch more salt just by looking at it.
I love that analogy. And by putting those expert opinions together with that data-driven approach of fuzzy logic, they created something that's both really strong and adaptable.
Robust and adaptable. Those are definitely good things to be in the world of engineering. Now, I understand they tested this model out using a real project, the Chunfeng Tunnel in Shenzhen, China. What is it about that tunnel that makes it a good example for this kind of risk assessment? Okay, the Chunfeng Tunnel in Shenzhen, China. You've got my attention. What makes it a good case study?
Well, this tunnel was huge. At the time, it was the largest diameter tunnel in China. I mean, it was big enough that you could practically fit a whole double-decker bus inside. Can you imagine?
Wow, that's impressive. Yeah. But I'm guessing it's not just the size that makes it interesting for this research, right?
You're right. It's the location, you see.
Yeah.
The Chunfeng Tunnel wasn't built out in the desert somewhere. It goes right under a really densely populated part of Shenzhen. We're talking apartment buildings, offices. There's even a kindergarten, all really close to this massive excavation project.
Okay, so the stakes were pretty high then. This isn't just hypothetical. It's about real people and their homes and lives. When you looked at the Chunfeng Tunnel, what were some of the things that surprised you most when you were thinking about this research?
You know, one of the things that really stood out was how important a building's age was. The older buildings, especially the ones with those, what do they call those simpler foundation types, you know, the kind that were common in older construction, those were a lot more vulnerable to damage from the tunneling.
That makes sense. I mean, they weren't exactly designing buildings back then with these huge tunnels in mind, right?
Exactly. And here's something I thought was really interesting. The research showed how important the construction manager's skill was in all of this. A really good manager can make a huge difference.
Wait, so we're not just talking about the ground and the building materials anymore. We're talking about the people in charge? Tell me more about that.
It turns out that if you've got a really skilled manager, someone who's got a lot of experience, you know, someone who can think on their feet and make good decisions when things change, that can really reduce the risk to those buildings around the tunnel.
It's like a captain steering a ship through a storm. They can't control the weather, but their experience can keep everyone safe.
Perfect analogy. And you know that difference, how skilled the manager is. That really shows the difference between those two types of risk the research talks about. Static and dynamic.
Yeah, you mentioned those terms before. Static risks are those things that you can't change, right? Like how old the building is, the type of soil, how close it is to the tunnel. Dynamic risks are things you can control, things you can change as the project goes on. Is that right?
You got it. And that's what makes this research so useful. It doesn't just tell you what those dynamic risks are, but it actually gives you ideas about how to manage them, how to make things safer.
So what are some examples of that? What can engineers actually do differently now based on this research?
Well, for one thing, they need to be carefully watching what's happening all the time. I mean, monitoring the project really closely, looking at the data, seeing how much the ground is moving, if the buildings are settling at all, that kind of thing. If something unexpected starts to happen, they can change the plan.
So it's about being flexible, being ready to adapt as you go, not just sticking to the original blueprints no matter what.
Exactly. And sometimes they might even have to change the way they're digging the tunnel, depending on the risks. Like maybe they need to adjust the pressure of the slurry they're using, or even slow down that massive tunnel boring machine.
So basically, this research gives engineers more tools and more information so they can make better decisions that are specific to that unique project.
That's it. It's not one size fits all. You know, it's about taking all that data, the expertise, those observations, and figuring out the best way to build this tunnel safely.
This has been a fascinating look into, well, I guess you could say the world beneath our feet. We've talked about these amazing tunnel boring machines, the importance of having a skilled and experienced team. And I have to say, I'm really impressed by how complex all of this is.
It really makes you think, doesn't it? It's not just about what we're building, but where and how we're building it. And most importantly, how to do it in a way that keeps everyone safe.
Absolutely. It makes you wonder what other innovations are out there, how we can use this kind of research to design even better, safer cities in the future. That's something to think about. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.